content of the following broadcast is offered as is. It confers no rights or warranties. The opinions expressed here are solely those of the participants and may not reflect those of the Microsoft Corporation, its partners, friends, and family. Welcome to IT Heroes. And now here's your host, Michael J. Murphy.
And ladies and gentlemen, welcome back. My name is Michael Murphy, and this is another installment of IT Heroes, Stories from the Trenches. These are the stories of the men and women making a difference in IT every day. I'm pleased to say that we are here with Bill Zack, and Bill does a lot of things. Not the least of them, Bill acts as treasurer of Culminus. Bill serves on the boards of two software user groups, developer user groups in Manhattan. Bill, tell these folks some of the other things you're involved in. Because you really, I'll tell you, man, you really are my hero. I want to be you when I grow up.
Thank you, Michael. Well, I'm currently working on a book on SQL Server for Microsoft Press titled Programming SQL Server 2005.
And I really want to spend some time talking about that. Definitely I want to talk about that. And I want to spend some time talking about SQL 2005. What else are you involved in, though, just before we get into that?
I just founded the New York City chapter of the Association of Software Architects.
What is that about, Bill? I didn't know about that. Tell me about that.
That's for software architects and senior developers who are getting into the architecture side of development. And it's a new organization that's going to be doing everything from certifying architects to providing content on their website for people that want to become architects and for people that are architects.
And what is an architect?
Well, the way I look at it, there's actually several classes of architect. There are enterprise architects, software architects, and infrastructure architects. For instance, someone in the IT area might be a software architect, someone who does the high-level design and configuring of IT infrastructures. On the software side, it's someone who designs large-scale systems.
Interesting. And so when does this group meet?
Well, the software architects group meets every fourth Tuesday of the month in Manhattan, and we meet at Microsoft. Microsoft was nice enough to give us space.
So you're at the Microsoft District Office at 1290 6th Avenue?
That's correct.
Okay, great. And that's the fourth Thursday of every month, did you say? I'm sorry?
It's the fourth Tuesday of every month. I'm involved with so many groups that I tend to mix up the dates.
You are. Tell me about how's the job at Culminus going? I know you became treasurer of Culminus about 6 months ago now, maybe? Not quite?
Right, that's pretty much an honorary position, but I am a member of the board of directors, and Culminus is just exploding all over the world. They've got chapters and organizations going in pretty much every single continent, or almost every single continent in the world now.
Why don't you just tell us, not everybody may have heard of Culminus. It is a pretty new organization, but why don't you tell us what it is?
Well, Culminus is an IT professionals association. It's kind of an association of user groups that supports user groups and acts as a conduit between vendors like Microsoft and other vendors and the user groups themselves.
So if I had a small Windows user group in Scranton, Pennsylvania, let's say, and I was looking for ways to increase membership, drive membership, get connected to the larger world, Culminus would be a portal for me to do that through?
Absolutely. Culminus would not only get you content, they send out welcome packages, which includes thousands of dollars worth of software. They also have a speakers bureau where they try to line up speakers for the different user groups and send speakers out to your group.
Mm-hmm. And how do I contact you?
Okay, well, they have a website. It's www.culminus.com. And on the website, there is an application form that user groups can fill out to join.
Excellent. So that's all very exciting stuff, Bill. Tell me now about what is this book that you're working on that's due out soon?
Well, this book is going to be the primary book for programmers that want to develop applications for SQL Server 2005. It's the Microsoft Press core central reference book for that.
It's the core central reference book that we're putting out for development on SQL 2005.
Right, and it covers everything from, you know, programming in C# and Visual Basic for the common language runtime, to all the new features in T-SQL, to system-level features like replication and mirroring.
Now, common language runtime, the CLR component of SQL 2005, I see that bandied about the press a lot. I see a lot of talk about that. I hear a lot of talk about that. But I don't understand it. What is it? And why is it of any interest to me when I look at SQL 2005?
Well, what it is if you're familiar with the architecture of SQL Server, you know that traditionally programmers or database administrators program in SQL, in a structured query language.
Mm-hmm. T-SQL, right?
Transact SQL. And what this does is this allows people that perhaps don't know T-SQL, that are application developers, to actually do some programming inside the SQL Server database, but do it in high-level languages.
What's an example of a high-level language? So traditionally, if I wanted to create code or, you know, build code to create an application that uses SQL, I would have had to do that, write that code, and save it as an extended stored procedure rather than have it integrated right inside SQL. Is that correct?
That's absolutely correct. And extended stored procedures were something that was added to SQL Server not too long ago, and they carry with it a certain amount of risk.
Risk in terms of?
Well, anything that runs directly inside of the SQL Server engine can bring the whole SQL Server instance down, and that's kind of a bad thing to have happen.
Yeah. That's what we call a resume-generating event.
Yes, but when the common language runtime support allows procedures like that to run in kind of a protected sandbox inside of SQL Server, so that it cannot bring the SQL Server instance itself down. So an application can crash without taking your whole database infrastructure away.
Fascinating. Absolutely fascinating. So let me ask you now, clearly for the developer side of the house, that's a major enhancement in SQL 2005 that they're going to be able to take advantage of. Can you speak at any length for our IT pro audience about some of the enhancements in SQL 2005 that they'll be able to take advantage of or that they can look forward to?
Well, one feature that I would have spoken about, and I think it's just recently announced that it's been delayed, has been database mirroring.
Well, my understanding about that, it's probably worth talking about, Bill, and I'll tell you why, because my understanding around that is that only a piece of that database mirroring functionality has been removed, and that was the hot swappable component.
Okay, well, that's very good, because if you're familiar with the way you do things currently, in order to have redundancy in the SQL Server infrastructure, you have to use clustering,
right,
which is very expensive. And this basically gives you a way to have backup servers, ready and able to take up the processing load without going through all the expense of having to duplicate your hardware and have a cluster.
So when we talk about database mirroring, what we're talking about is an advancement in high availability technology that frees me from the traditional need to cluster my servers for fault tolerance and provide replicas of those servers on the network that are ready to pick up the slack.
Absolutely.
Okay.
And after 9/11, and after what's happened in this country, everyone is very, very disaster recovery and very backup conscious, and this is a great new feature.
So can we talk then about that a little bit? Because you made the suggestion just now that you saw an announcement recently that functionality was going away, or not going away, but it's always tricky, isn't it, talking about beta products?
Yes, it is.
Because you have to clarify everything you say with the caveat that this is in beta and we're not entirely certain what's going to happen by the time it goes to the manufacturer, right? And just now, here we are, Bill. What are we? We're less than 45 days out from the launch on this product, right? And just now, a piece of that functionality has been taken out of the release. My understanding is that in the September community technology preview, that piece has been removed. And so it's likely that when we go to production, that's going to be the case. So, Bill, I hear a lot of talk about improvements in the recovery model in SQL 2005. Can you extrapolate on that a little bit?
Sure. Basically, the new recovery model lets you get your database back up and operating a lot faster after a problem.
How does it do that?
If you recall, you used to have to wait for changes to be backed out and then for transactions that were in flight to be reapplied before you could open up your database for new work. And now you actually can get your database back online after the first phase, but you don't have to wait for that second phase of processing.
So that means that in the case of a catastrophic failure, and I'm rebuilding the database, and I go to restore those files from backup, and now I want to play the transaction log back into the database files to bring that database up to a level of consistency near or at the point of failure. Now you're saying that as soon as I get those database files restored, I can access what's in there, and the log files will play those transactions to bring it up to a consistent state while I have access?
Yes, essentially, it takes a little bit longer than that, because once you restore your database, there's kind of a two-phase recovery process.
Okay, can you describe that?
You basically undo partially completed transactions and then apply any transactions that were supposed to have been completed but weren't in the backup. So essentially, the reapplying of updates can go on in parallel with new access. So it gives you, it might give you like 30% faster recovery. I just plucked that number out of the air, mm-hmm. but that seems reasonable. That's coupled with a lot of other features, too, by the way. There's the ability to partition your database and actually take part of the database offline and keep part of it online if you're having a problem with part of the database.
Really?
For instance, you can...
Go ahead.
No, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I was going to say, am I splitting tables here, or am I taking tables offline? What am I doing? Files, file groups?
It's really files. It's really file groups.
File groups.
So, but you can partition things across multiple file groups in such a way that if there's a broken page, in one of those groups, you can actually take it offline and recover it while not taking your whole database offline.
Interesting. And so, in terms of availability and keeping the database available even in times of recovery, we see an improvement in SQL 2005's ability to do that.
Absolutely.
So, Bill, I hear a lot of talk about SQL Express now. What is SQL Express?
Well, SQL Express is actually a much better replacement for something that we used to have with the previous version of SQL Server, something called MSDE.
MSDE.
MSDE, I think it stood for Microsoft Desktop Database Engine, but don't quote me. It's been a while. And this is essentially kind of a junior version of SQL Server, which is absolutely free.
So when you say it's a junior version, can I expect that it doesn't have these kinds of high availability features, recovery model that we've been talking about, but it's scaled down. It gives you basic database engine.
Yeah, that's correct. One of the big advantages, though, is that it can work with higher-level versions of SQL Server. For instance, you can have it in a branch office and be distributing reports through SQL Server reporting services and have it act as a client to retrieve reports. Mm. So although the high availability features are out, a lot of the features that you'd think wouldn't be there in a free product are really there.
Hmm. So,
in fact, what they've tried to do in the architecture of SQL Server Express is kind of give you the ease of use that you used to have with things like Microsoft Access for mm-hmm. developing small department-level applications, but make it be a full participant in a distributed network of SQL servers.
And that's what I can do with SQL Express, huh?
Absolutely. Yes, you can.
Fascinating.
And it's free. Did I mention that?
Free always gets my attention. It's my favorite four-letter word.
Right. They're coming out even before it's released with a new management tool for it that they're currently working on. They hope to have it out just shortly after the product's released to give you more management capability of SQL Server Express. If you've ever worked with MSDE, you remember that it didn't come with any management tools whatsoever. Yeah, so it was more something that that developers could bundle with an application if they wanted to include a database.
Hmm.
But this is more of a freestanding database product that people can actually use.
Now, can I ask, I understand that in SQL 2005, you just mentioned the management tools for SQL Express. My understanding is that in SQL 2005, both Enterprise Manager and Query Analyzer are gone. And so where am I managing my SQL 2005 servers from these days?
Well, that's a really good question. All of us that worked with SQL Server in previous versions always, you know, felt that it was very awkward to have to keep jumping back and forth from one tool to another.
Uh-huh.
And so in SQL Server 2005, they've basically integrated the features of those two tools into something called SQL Management Studio, a single tool where you can do queries and you can also, you know, manage your servers and stored procedures and do everything all in one place.
And my understanding is that that SQL Management Studio is based on Visual Studio. And so, in fact, both the developer and the IT pro can work in that single unified space. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's true. You know, they're pretty much based upon the same integrated user interface shell. But the features are the same kind of features that you had as a DBA before, you know, in the previous version of SQL Server, although they all seem to have been enhanced somewhat. For instance, whenever you do something in the user interface, you can actually generate a script for that and save the script so that you can rerun that script at a later time. So that's something that you really didn't have in the previous version. That's a nice enhancement.
Now, in previous versions of SQL, I always had DTS and did a lot of DTS work. And now I hear talk that DTS has been completely re-architected and it's not even called DTS anymore. What's happening there?
That's right. It's been renamed Integration Services to kind of, it used to be called Data Transformation Services. And if you think about the classical database, data warehousing terms of extract, transform, and load, transform's really only one piece of that.
Okay.
So Integration Services now is a really full-featured, think of it like DTS on steroids.
Right.
It's really a full-featured utility for integrating data in different formats, you know, be it comma-separated value files, even XML files, bringing it into your database in bulk and updating your database, as well as transforming database, you know, tables from one format to another. It really is a kind of a generation above, you know, beyond DTS.
Fascinating. I'll tell you, it's, you know, I'm looking at SQL 2005 more and more. Obviously, it's coming down the pike. We're getting close to launch. And the more I see of it, the more I think that this is a really enterprise scalable database solution in a lot of places that SQL couldn't go in the past.
I agree 100%. I think a lot of companies that might turn to other vendors for enterprise, have turned to other vendors for enterprise level products in the past, have to look at SQL Server now, because SQL Server really has just about every feature that any large enterprise would need, certainly anything that any medium-sized or small enterprise would need.
Well, Bill, I want to really thank you for joining us here today and sharing some of your insights around SQL with us. Bill Zack, co-author of Programming in SQL 2005, due out from MS Press very soon. Bill, do you have anything to close with?
No, just that if you're listening to this and you haven't looked at SQL Server 2005, you haven't tried the beta, it's in pretty good condition, and I think people should be kicking the tires right now and getting ready for when it comes out. It's been a long time since a new version of SQL Server has come out, and this one is a big jump forward.
I agree. Excellent. Excellent advice. So, ladies and gentlemen, my name is Michael Murphy. I want to thank our guest, Bill Zack, once again. And I want to thank all of you for joining us on this installment of IT Heroes, Stories from the Trenches, the stories of the men and the women making a difference in IT every day. Thank you.
IT Heroes with your host, Michael J. Murphy, was recorded at Matador Studios in Monmouth Junction, New Jersey. Produced and engineered by Giles Davis. Original music performed and composed by Giles Davis.